Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Now, normally on Tuesdays, Elliot Shore Parks joins us at 3. That's when he normally joins us, but he's been studying draft picks over at NovaCare, and he will join us at 4:30. We'll talk to Elliot Shore Parks.
Studying draft picks.
Well, I don't know.
He's getting his eye test.
Yeah, a little eye test going on.
Yeah,
a little
yeah.
eye test going on. Speaking of eye test, we'll get back to the Sixers in a moment. The
sore eye.
Yes.
I need to.
Wow. What?
Can we YouTube big board of the eye test that you trust at WIP?
Yes.
Can we keep the YouTube big board going?
I love the YouTube big board.
I don't want it to die. Like, today's.
Well, he wants to do it for NBA draft prospect.
Oh, well, I always
do. Yeah.
I always do it for NBA. Yeah, I always do it for NBA. We can do it for everything else.
Well, we don't care about baseball draft.
Nah, yeah. We could YouTube big board anything.
Yeah.
As okay. long as there's YouTube, as long as there's video of it, we could do it. So if anyone has any suggestions, if you don't want the YouTube big board to go away, that's fine. I love the people that don't get it. That is actually my favorite part of it. So I went through every player. Now, some of these guys I did scout. Now, we're going to do – I did YouTube big board for every position, then for Eagles. Now I'm just going to go through my YouTube scouting for every player that the Eagles took. Some of these guys I've talked about already, but I do have a little bit of a new angle on a couple of them. Now, Quinyon Mitchell, I don't have anything new for. Definitely, like, good tools, good body, fast, you know, looks like a strong little guy, almost built like a running back. I like Quinyon Mitchell. I don't like that he went to Toledo, but I like Quinyon Mitchell. Now, Cooper DeJean, I was out on because I said, like, look at him. Maybe he puts on a bunch of weight, becomes an offensive lineman, and tight end or something, but he couldn't play cornerback. But then I found a different YouTube of Cooper DeJean, and that is the YouTube of Cooper DeJean playing basketball.
There you go.
And let me tell you, that is the only video you need to see to let you know that he can absolutely play cornerback in the NFL. His basketball highlights have turned me positive on him as a defensive back in the NFL. I'm in on it. I was skeptical. All sorts of dunks, one-handed dunks, two-handed dunks, flat-footed. I'm officially changing my position on Cooper DeJean. I think he's going to be a playmaker.
Yeah, welcome aboard.
I'm on.
So you're getting A through the first two picks.
Yeah, B for Quinyon Mitchell, A for Cooper DeJean.
Okay.
Jalix Hunt. I don't know, man. So I watched the YouTube of him playing at Houston Christian after he was at, where in New York?
Cornell.
Oh, Cornell. I know he played safety before he was an edge, but he looks like a safety playing that position in the video that I watched. He's fast, so he runs by people. Mm-hmm. But even when he gets to the quarterback, he sort of hits the quarterback the way that a safety would hit the quarterback. Dives at him and wraps him up. He just doesn't, when I'm watching his highlights, he does not look like an edge rusher to me. Now, I know they said that. He's only been there a couple years. He's apparently a project. But I expected him to pop off the screen a little bit when I was watching, a little bit more than he did when I was watching him.
Yeah, I don't have much more to offer to that. This is obviously a new player that I hadn't really heard of. prior to the Eagles drafting him. So it wasn't as if he was a name coming out of the Senior Bowl. And maybe some people that follow this stuff a lot closer, I'm just saying he wasn't an above-the-surface name, that it's a notable name.
Yeah.
That we would have been like, oh, we got him in the third round? Awesome. Even if he's from a smaller school, right? We had heard about Cooper Kupp when he came out, and people wanted to draft Cooper Kupp and things. So it's not that you have to go to some Alabama or Clemson or whatever school in order for everybody to know who you are. So this is one of those picks where I hope the Eagles are right.
I hope so,
too. I mean, that's all I can really give you on that pick is that I hope they're right about where they got him at. If you would have taken him in the fifth round, I don't think anybody says anything.
But a third-round pick isn't nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a lot like Davion Taylor.
Yes.
I mean, it's like a kind of a project. In the third round's not nothing.
Well, that was even worse for Davion Taylor because he didn't even play on Fridays in high school.
Yes.
That's crazy. I didn't know that.
Yeah, because of his religious purposes.
Oh.
Religious reasons, yeah. So he couldn't play on Fridays. And so he was always a raw athlete that they never actually molded into the player they thought he was going to become.
Now, the good thing about Hunt, 10 out of 10 smile. And seems like he's funny based on Colin Howie Big Pimpin.
Yeah.
Big Pimpin?
Yeah. So I'm willing to give him a chance. But now Will Shipley, running back, mm-hmm. Here's the thing.
Like
doesn't
Will
look
Shipley.
That fast. Mm-hmm. Doesn't really break many tackles. But I know a football player when I see it.
You sure do, pal.
Will Shipley's a football player.
He is.
And he runs hard. And I bet you he finds his way on the field
this
a
year.
Decent bit this year. I bet he gets like 3 to 5 touches a game.
Sure, I can see that.
I think he can play.
Yeah, I definitely think he can play. It's a matter how much they want to use Saquon. Still got Gainwell here. I'm with you. I think Shipley is a guy. Shipley is actually a guy that in 2 years, they could potentially say he could be our back.
I think so.
Yeah, like they could easily say that in 2 years. Like, yeah, he could be our starting tailback. 5-star recruit coming out of high school as a running back. So, you know, he did pretty well. 31 touchdowns down there at Clemson, playing in the ACC. Playmaker. He produced.
That's what it looked like to me. I know a football player runs. I've been, you know, in this game long enough to know a football player runs him.
Yeah.
Anaya Smith, another baller.
Mm-hmm.
He reminded me of Darren Sproles, to be honest with you. He is fast. He is strong, and he breaks tackles. He plays in the middle of the field. I don't know. I like him, too. Him and Shipley are my two favorite picks in the entire draft. Trotter aside,
mm-hmm.
I like Anaya Smith, too. Loved his tape. Now, Jeremiah Trotter, the official draft selection of the WIP afternoon show,
mm-hmm.
People can talk about his speed, his size, yada, yada, yada. All I see on the video is him making plays, Ike.
What is it, YouTube?
Well, stop, Jack. There's a lot of guys you don't see making plays. All I see is Jeremiah Trotter Jr. making plays. I'm optimistic on him as he is our official draft pick. Trevor Keegan, also high on him as well. Guard from Michigan. Mm-hmm. Looks mean, strong, gets around pretty good. And he played in a real conference, unlike half of the draft picks they had this year.
That's true.
The other thing is if you watch enough highlights of him, you see him like laying out D-backs and stuff.
Yeah,
I love that. He's mean guy. I like him.
A little fiery.
Thumbs up for Keegan.
Got a little extra pep in his step. Got a little nastiness to him.
Yep. Johnny Wilson, too tall.
6'7" wide receiver.
Too tall.
He's too tall.
Harold Carmichael.
He's too tall.
Another late round selection.
Yeah.
Hall of Famer, though.
Yeah. I'm going to bet on this guy being too tall.
He said he's not going to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
A lot of people thought he was going to get or think he may get switched to tight end.
Hmm.
Although Howie initially
said no.
Yeah, no, yeah. But he's 6'7". He's not going to outrun anybody, that's for sure.
Better chance of being a tackle. He's put on 100 pounds or something. He's a monster. Physically, he's a monster. He's pretty fast, too, for his size. But
yeah.
I don't know.
But that's college speed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that speed's not going to look the same at this level.
Absolutely. Honestly, the difference between a guy like Will Shipley, who runs a 4.48 or something like that, and Johnny Wilson is that when you're watching Will Shipley, you feel like you're watching a football player.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like, it feels like he knows where to be and when to be there, and Johnny Wilson, I didn't feel like the same thing watching him.
Well, I mean, no.
He's too tall.
Again, big guy could be a great red zone threat for us.
Sure.
Jump ball guy.
Oh, that's not that. That is what we always think.
Oh, yeah.
Throw fade route in the corner.
Yeah.
Haven't had one of those guys in our whole lives. And then finally, Dylan McMahon. I like offensive linemen that are not fat. He is not fat. He is as the scouting report on him is that he's a good athlete. He moves well. You know, he was a center in college. Mm-hmm. His YouTube absolutely matches up with all that. He moves good, man. And now I think he's just under 300 pounds. He's small, but all good with that. I love the project of Dylan McMahon. Liked his tape as well.
Yeah, give Stoutland you a couple of linemen to work with, and I guarantee you they're going to be quality backups, if not starters at some point.
You have to guess that he gave his thumbs up to anybody that they pick on the offensive
yes,
line.
Yes, I would imagine, yes.
Do you have any informed speculation on whether that's actually 100%
true? No, I have no informed speculation on that. I just, if the Eagles were smart, they should value his opinion enough to see.
For sure, for sure.
To see how he likes him.
So a pretty positive YouTube big board.
Yeah.
Pretty positive.
Didn't love that the top three picks all are from Iowa, Toledo, and Houston
Christensen. Yeah.
Meh.
Well, he started at Cornell.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. But otherwise, I did like it. I liked the tape. So now, speaking of big boards and so on and so forth, when we have Elliot on at 4:30, we did have some big news that got broken this afternoon during the midday show about the Eagles Insider of the Year. Mm-hmm. We will have that at 4:30. But we are talking about the Sixers. Whether you believe A, in Embiid tonight, and B, is it more likely that they win or they get run out of the building? Nick in Collegeville, you're on WIP.
Gentlemen, Elliot's trying to break his story and move up that ranking, man. He's working overtime. Coming now, we're coming down 90 minutes late.
Yeah.
Before I get off, remind me to tell you that I ran into two pregnant women this weekend, I believe, and I'll tell you how I handle it. So, Sixers, I'm going to say what Ike is saying in his brain, but he doesn't want to say directly to you, Spike. They're going to lay down like dogs. They're going to lay down like your dog and my dog after 9 p.m. Spike, they're going to just plop down on the couch and... We've seen it. Listen, I love this team. I followed them through the process. I remember you guys down there the center down there at the party at the bars by the stadium.
Xfinity Live.
Xfinity, thank you. My brain's freezing. Yeah. But we've seen it, man. Except for the double doink that happened years ago, they laid down against Boston. They laid down against Atlanta. They laid down. They just – these closeout games – They just tend to lay down, and then we saw they gave us we smelled it and they sent us smoke signals today. Oubre has a tummy ache, and Beast has a migraine. Wasn't at warmups or wasn't at shoot around today. Like, they're laying down the groundwork. It's getting paved with all our souls. Like, they're laying our souls down and they're paving down the road and letting us know. They're going to lay down tonight. I hate to say it. Dude, it's frustrating. It's frustrating. We live this. I know, Spike, you've lived it for years. Mm-hmm. You've built up such an empire around the squad. and we're just followers getting crushed by the stones falling off the temple, man.
So I don't know if the team will lay down or won't. I actually wouldn't be surprised with either result. I wouldn't be surprised if they won tonight. I wouldn't be surprised if they laid down tonight. The only thing... that tonight that I will make that will be meaningful to me is if he lays down.
Yeah.
If
correct.
Embiid lays down and truly do I want, I don't want them to lose 4-1 to the Knicks. That would be embarrassing, but, and thank you for the call, Nick, but if he lays down, that changes a lot.
Yeah. It changes how everybody feels. And it quite frankly, when I say it changes how everyone feels, I mean, you get people who are on the fence who are going to say, I'm out. And those people that are already out, they're going to be the loudest. They're going to be the loudest, man.
Uh-huh.
And I would advise Embiid, who I know is already up in New York. He's not listening to us, but I'm trying to speak to him.
Maybe it's the Odyssey app.
Yeah,
the free
trying
Odyssey
to speak
app.
To him. Man, first, lead by example. And then secondly, I wouldn't mind seeing a little bit of fight directed at my own teammates.
Like with Shake Milton in the bubble?
Yeah. Yeah.
He did threaten to kick his ass in the bubble.
No, he said that because he knows I didn't like that.
Oh, really?
Shake is on the Knicks.
He's on the Knicks.
He was cheering a little too loud the
other
night.
Dude, hold on. First of all, I didn't know he was over there. I don't know if it was his last game or the game before that. When I saw him cheering on this, I was like, man, is that Shake Milton?
Yeah,
I didn't even know he was on the damn Knicks team.
Yeah, he was. He got traded, and then I think he got released, and then the Knicks signed him.
I think the Wolves released him.
Yeah,
but he's been like front and center with the
a little too much
over there. Yeah,
a little too much.
Come on, man. Well, he's
one of us. One of us. Here's a quick question.
I do want Embiid fighting tonight, though.
Yes.
Yeah. Quick question, because we've talked about Embiid and we talked about the role players. How do we view Nurse if they lose in five?
I think Nick Nurse is a good coach. It's his first season here. The players have changed all throughout the season.
Oh, that's crap. See, listen.
I think Nick Nurse
is a
good
coach.
We're not
going to do this. Nah. He may be a good coach, but would you stop? He may be a good coach, but he hasn't necessarily shown where he's any different than anybody else this series. He has not. I don't want to hear about the new players because Doc got new players. Brett got new players. They all get new players, and you have to adapt. He can't figure out, A, how to get these guys to crash the damn boards, whereas New York says one guy shoots, everybody crashes the board except for the shooter. So we're getting out-rebound. That's really what it's boiling down to. It's really second-chance points, second-effort points. That's what it is to me. That's the biggest difference to me. I can take this guy hitting a few shots here and there, this guy hitting a few shots here and there. What I can't take is a 6'4", 6'5 guard and Josh Hart getting 17 rebounds. And a lot of them offensive rebounds where he's getting these guys extra shots. It cost us the game in game two, offensive rebounding.
I actually disagree.
Okay.
So that's what they're good at.
Yeah,
I think, honestly, the biggest problem for the Sixers is not that they're not good at what the Knicks are good at. It's that they haven't been good at what they are good at. You know, we're supposed to have the two best or first and third best offensive players in the series.
Mm-hmm.
And in, like, when it was time, in that last game, when it was time to score, they could not score. And our second best offensive player, when Embiid is off the court, cannot score. As bad as the offensive rebounding has been, that's sort of the Knicks' defining trait. That's what they do.
Sure.
They crash. They're always going to out-offensive rebound us.
Why?
Because that's who they are. That's who the players are.
That's what they've done to be successful for them. It doesn't mean that we can't exude more effort, that we can't focus on crashing the offensive board, that Tobias can get the Charmin tissue out of him and actually crash the board and grab a rebound. Kelly Oubre, grab a rebound. I mean, Nicholas Batum, thank you for the Heat game. You ain't done squat since the Heat game, quite frankly, but be a negative out there on the court. He looks scared. I mean, we literally look scared to hit the floor. With the exception of Kyle Lowry, we look scared to hit the floor, to be physical. And let me tell you how I know that we're out of character and we're playing into the Knicks' hands is that we need Joel Embiid in game three to play tough guy. He almost, some people would consider he deliberately injures a player on the Knicks and then stands up and threatens everybody, what you going to do? What you going to do? What you going to do? Well, I ain't see any of that in game four. Not only, and I'm not being critical of him, what I'm saying is they're forcing him to do this type of stuff. Where's our guy? Where's our tough guy?
Oh, Morey traded him off.
Yeah, like, where's our tough guy that does all the dirty work and does that so that our stuff? I've never seen Kobe have to go up and grab them. Mike is not going up to grab somebody. LeBron isn't doing that. They have goons on the team to do that. That's their role to do. Now, we got Embiid. He has to do everything. He has to score. He has to play defense. He has to be the enforcer. He has to guarantee we're going to win. And meanwhile, these dudes that are role players are soft, and they are giving us nothing. And that's why we're losing this series. It's not because Jalen Brunson has been killing us. It's because the Knicks role players have been killing us every game. And they've outplayed our role players every game.
I agree that they've outplayed them. But my disagreement is I don't think we need to outplay them by doing what they do better than we do. My problem with the Sixers role players is that Buddy Hield isn't shooting threes.
He was one of our role
players. Right, but he can't even be on the court.
Yeah.
Buddy Hield's not shooting threes. Tobias Harris, who has scored 18 points a game for his entire life, is
all of
peaking
a sudden
at
is
eight.
Scared of everything.
And Kelly Oubre, the last two games has woken up,
yep.
But in the first two games was completely disappeared. So I guess I agree that the Knicks role players are outplaying the Sixers role players. My problem, though, is not that the Sixers role players are not rebounding. My problem is that Sixers role players aren't even doing what they are particularly good at.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. You're saying they're not even – the guys that are supposed to be scorers can't even do that.
Can't even score.
Yeah.
You know, because we have five more points in every game. All of a sudden, we win.
It's true.
The series is over.
True.
Coming up next.
If it's been one thing that's been more maddening than anything, it's the offensive rebound.
There it is.
I mean, my goodness,
it
man.
It sucks to watch. It's maddening.
I mean, they miss a shot, and it's like, hold on, they got the ball again.
And it's always at the most crucial point in the game that they rebound, even the end of game two. The rebounds at the end of game two. If forgetting about the timeout, forgetting about the foul.
Right.
If they
just get a rebound. Yes.
Yeah. Speaking of which, Bojan Bogdanović is out for the rest of the playoffs, as Shams announced. He has a torn thing in his ankle and a torn thing in his wrist or something.
Oh,
so
wow.
The last thing. So he's been a good player for them. Was not good in the regular season. Has been good in the playoffs. Coming up next, Elliot Shore Parks joins us to talk about, A, the Eagles draft, but B, the shocking revelation that happened today about Eagles Insider of the Year. Shocking. We'll talk about how we're going to deal with that next. Now, you are what you eat. Ike, you are what you eat. Jack, you are what I am what I eat.
Mm-hmm.
And your dog is what your dog eats. Mm-hmm. And we know what to eat to be healthy, but what to feed your dog is kind of confusing. You look online, you get even more confused. You go to one of those big box pet stores, you get even more confused. And that's why I'm telling you, dogs and cats rule. Obviously, that's true, but that is the store that you want to go to know how to keep your pet healthy, what to feed your pet, what I would feed Rebel. If I go to Dogs and Cats Rule, they're going to be able to tell me. I know it sounds crazy to you that you can walk into a store and they are actually going to have answers for you, but the staff at Dogs and Cats Rule know enough to help you. 7 locations, Newtown, Doylestown, Maple Glen, New Hope, Bluebell, Pennington, and Princeton. Staff knows what they're talking about. It's not confusing like it is online. They're not clueless like they are in the big box stores. The lead dog, George Perenni, who started Dogs and Cats Rule years ago, knows what's important. And what is important is your dog's health, your dog's happiness. You, as a pet owner, you as a dog owner, you have one job. Make your dog's life as happy and healthy as possible. It's what I do for Rebel with Dogs and Cats Rule. It's what you should do. Go to dogsandcatsrule.pet to find out more about the locations, more about the store, dogsandcatsrule.pet. Shop small, shop local, shop family. Dogs and
dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben and Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill friendly meats like organic air chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Catch Rule. WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Some shocking news about the Eagles Insider of the Year, which we'll get to in a moment with Elliot Shore Parks, who is sponsored by BQ Basements and Concrete, foundation repair, basement waterproofing, and crawl space experts. Call today for a free inspection. To book your appointment, go to basementsbybq.com. Elliot, now that you've had a few days to sleep on it, how do you feel about the Eagles draft overall?
So going in, I would have taken an offensive guard. We've been over that. But now that you look at it in its totality, my honest takeaway is not that they added players that are going to help them right away or that, you know, this makes them better for next year. I think they got guys that have a lot of potential. And I think this is a class that's probably going to take a year to see that, as opposed to like last year when they drafted Jalen Carter, you knew he'd come in right away. My biggest takeaway was just the benefit of having Howie on the job for so long really showed itself. The fact that he went in, I believe, with 8 picks. He ended up drafting 9 players and added 3 picks. Drafting's hard, and who knows if these guys will be good. But Howie, now that Lurie is stuck with him through down years, I think you see the benefit of sticking with people. So I thought it was a good draft. I thought a lot of decisions made sense. And I really just thought his experience showed over the few days.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear, and this is not me poking at you or what have you, and I know what you felt like prior to the draft, but the idea, and this is sort of what I was seeing prior to the draft, the idea of just adding just more high-level talent on the defensive side of the ball, if nothing else, to sort of compare or to play complementary football with what they have going on the offense. They're already light years ahead on that side of the ball, but to get some high-level talent, meaning guys they're drafting in the upper rounds, I think what the Eagles have done over the last 2 years, they put themselves in good position with some of the guys they've drafted in the first 3 to 4 rounds of both of these drafts.
Yeah, and look, I'm certainly not one to give up on a take. I do feel better that they drafted a guard late. And I honestly like Trevor Keegan. The fact that he played for 3 years at Michigan, his pass blocking numbers were really good. I think the fact that he played at a high-level program and was a captain has me encouraged that he could be good when it comes to picking up blitz schemes and, you know, working with Lane. They already have a relationship quickly. So I do think they went about drafting a guard. You know, they didn't take someone in the sixth round that's a project. Keegan is much more of a play right now guy. So that does make me feel better about the class overall. But to your point, while cornerback was not my preference, you can look at it and say, you know what, they might have drafted 2 key secondary guys that in a year can really make them better. So, yeah, I think I see the vision of what they did.
Elliot, if you could pick out 1 or 2 players, and I would agree with you that overall, especially at the top of the draft, it doesn't seem like those are, you know, the 3 guys from small schools, you know, immediate contributors. But if you were to pick out 1 or 2 players in this draft that you think are most likely to contribute this year, who would you take?
I actually think it's probably Cooper DeJean, just because I think there's a multitude of ways he can get on the field. I don't think – we'll see, but I would be surprised if Quinyon, at least early on, is the starter on the outside. I think Keeley is going to outplay him in camp, and I think Slay is a better corner than anyone right now when healthy, just because of what he's accomplished. I think with Cooper, there's a few more ways for him to get on the field. He could potentially line up at nickel. I think, you know, I did my 53-man roster, and when you look at it, I think the 2 positions they're thinnest at are tight end and safety. There's a potential maybe they put Cooper there. And I also think there's a chance he contributes in the kick return game. So I think Quinyon has a higher floor. I'm sorry. Well, higher floor as well, but a higher ceiling in the long term. But I think just because of the nature of their game, there's a clear path for Cooper to get on the field.
Yeah, I mean, I can't wait to see him out there only because I think you can use him in so many different ways. I want to see how Vic Fangio sort of wants to use him, you know, placing him as an outside corner. I don't know if that's getting the best out of him or the most out of him versus, you know, moving him around and making him a jack of all trades and just having a great football player. You know, he kind of reminds me of the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, right? Where, you know, when the Honey Badger came out, he returned punts. He did everything. He played safety. He played corner. He blitzed. He could cover guys. Cooper DeJean, at least if I look at his resume and I just look at the versatility he's displayed, he sort of reminds me of that type of a player.
Yeah, and I also think that Cooper, where they took him, is a good kind of talking point or lesson on, like, draft value. So if they would have taken him at 22, I would have hated that pick. I don't think he's ready to be an outside corner. I frankly don't think his skill translates to that. I do think, to your point, he's more of an in-the-box safety. But to take a player at 40, I just think is a different level of expectation of what you're getting for him and what he should be expected to be. So going into the draft, Cooper was my least favorite of all the corners. But at 40, you could understand it more. And to go back to your original question, to be honest, they took a lot of guys that I understand it, but I would have taken Kool-Aid McKinstry in the first pick. They took two receivers, Johnny Wilson and Smith out of Texas A&M that I like, but I would have taken Troy Franklin and Brendan Rice. So I understand why they did what they did. I just like other players better.
Talking to Elliot Shore Parks. Elliot, so Howie did say that they expected to take a tackle higher up in the draft. They didn't, but they did sign Mekhi Becton right afterwards, who obviously really high draft pick, a lot of potential. What do you think of the signing overall and Becton's future, even where he gets on the field, if at all?
Yeah, so I think whenever the Eagles signed an offensive lineman, the instant reaction is, well, he's going to Stoutland University, and you know he'll turn into an all-pro. And Stoutland probably belongs in the Eagles Hall of Fame in terms of coaching, like for as much as he's contributed. But it is worth pointing out, Mekhi Becton has been awful. Like, it's not like he's barely played and he's a great athlete and all. Like, he came back from an injury last year and was really, really bad. Now, Stoutland could help him for sure. But I think when you're 4 years into your career, things can change. But if they're counting on him being the main guy at both backup tackle spots and the money that they potentially gave him, I know it's up to $5.5 million. I'd be curious to see how much that is fully guaranteed. I'm not comfortable with just handing him the backup tackle spot. Like, you know, Stoutland really has a lot of work to do with him. So I think it's a good chance to take. It's just money at the end of the day. They didn't, you know, trade a third round or fourth round pick for him. But, you know, just because Stoutland's the offensive line coach doesn't mean Becton's going to be good. I mean, Becton has really, really struggled.
Yeah. A lot of those guys struggle when you put them on that island and left tackle or either right tackle. Wonder what happens if you put him in somewhat of a secured box and you put Lane Johnson on the outside of him, Cam Jurgens on the inside of him, and he plays guard.
Yeah, I mean, they could definitely try that. I think that, you know, having Landon as your left guard really kind of changes how you view what the Eagles look for in a guard because mm-hmm. he is so big. Traditionally, mm-hmm. a guy that size with that wingspan and that weight, like you don't see at guard, and that position's really changing. So, yeah, I mean, Mekhi Becton could try to move inside to guard. And, yeah, if you're between Lane. Now, I will say we have no idea if Cam Jurgens is good. So you'll have Lane on one side, and then you have Cam on the other. But if Mekhi Becton ends up being their week one starting guard, something has gone wrong. Like, Steen hasn't played well. Keegan probably didn't turn into what they thought. I know Becton has a high ceiling, but I would be worried if I were the Eagles and their week one starting guard is Mekhi Becton.
You know,
I don't know. I mean, you're talking about a top 10, top 12 pick. You know, sometimes you have that athleticism and that size, and it's just not a fit for you on the outside. But it doesn't mean you don't possess a lot of those same skill traits, and they may work better for you. I'm telling you, at the guard position. I'm just saying it's just something to think about.
It could work, but think of how much things have changed with the offensive line. We, you know, the Eagles have gone into, not last year because Jurgens hadn't played it, but for a lot of years in a row, you go into the season with an offensive line that has Seumalo, who's played a ton, Brandon Brooks, who's played a ton, obviously. So if you put Mekhi Becton at guard, but frankly, even if it's Tyler Steen or Keegan, there's just a lot of projecting in the middle of the line. And last year, I think the biggest flaw with this offense was, A, pre-snap, I don't think Hurts got him in the right looks. But two, I don't think Hurts, like many quarterbacks, deals with pressure up the middle well. And there's a real chance that they are very exposed in the middle of this offensive line.
I totally agree with that. But you were going to have that regardless of what you did. If you drafted somebody and you put a rookie there, or you take Tyler Steen, who hasn't played a whole lot there, like, you were going to have those same questions there for that first-year guy. At least Becton has starts under his belt and has been a high draft pick that comes with a lot of high traits. That's all I'm saying.
Sure.
Let me ask you this on the other side of the football. Before I forget about it, we've talked an awful lot about the secondary. What do you think this means for James Bradberry moving forward? Like, how do you think this plays out for him? Is he a June 1st release guy, or do you think he comes to training camp? They try to trade him. How do you think this plays out for James Bradberry?
I think people should start to view Bradberry as a trade chip. Because if Bradberry – so I think he's going to have a better season. I think last year he played poorly, and that's definitely on him. I think writing him off is a little premature. He had bad safety play next to him. The defense was a disaster from just a communication, getting things set. And I think that really impacts a corner a lot more than probably other positions. The front four, if there's poor, communication, like there's a big run play or something. In the secondary, if there's poor communication or poor coaching, it looks like your cornerback got absolutely burned. So I... Wait, what is this?
Violins. Yeah, violins being played.
He's cooked.
Yeah, I've been getting the excuse making violins.
Who's training for James Bradberry?
Well, all right. I mean, we'll get to the Embiid thing with the excuse making if you want. But with Bradberry, I think the best case for them is he's here this offseason. He comes to camp. The other corners play well, and you can say who wants Bradberry. Bradberry was an All-Pro a year ago, and there are not a lot of good corners around the league. That's just a fact. It's hard to find good corners. So if a team gets hurt, if a player gets hurt, he is a trade chip.
Elliot, I'm sorry.
That's your boy, Jack. That's Jack. That's your boy on you.
He started the show off out of control, screaming at me. All this.
Give him back the drop board, and he's just,
Oh, yeah.
He's back home now. Yeah, he's back home.
He's lying about farting on the air. He's lying about his fart on the air. It's completely disgusting. So, Elliot, you've been, I think, keyed in a little bit, paying attention to the Eagles Insider of the Year rankings, which honestly could topple WIP very quickly.
And the city.
Yeah, there's a lot of chaos. But I'm gonna.
Good about you coming in and starting that. Really been a good vibe check for everybody.
It wasn't my idea. It was Jack's. I'm just following along.
It was Jack's idea.
Yeah. So you know I love you, even though you're currently ranked fourth. Well, at least in the first rankings.
I'm happy to be fourth in your heart. I'll take that.
You're first in my heart, fourth in the ranking. But I'm wondering if you heard this piece of audio, which came from the midday show today.
The WIP Insider Competition?
Yes.
I am recusing myself from the competition.
But why?
I'm out. I'm out because it's just not fair. I'm so far ahead of everybody else that I want to give other people a chance. And, when you give people credit for an insider, when they say something, well, I want this player, doesn't mean that you have any information they're going to get that player. When you start using that as pointers, then obviously those people are begging to be in the competition. And, I don't want people to beg. It's just not manly or it's not womanly. It's just not right. So, I'm recusing myself. I'm out.
Well, Elliot, first, your thoughts.
Yeah. I mean, look, when this all started, I said it was an honor to be on the list with guys like Derek Gunn, John Clark, Howard Eskin. You hear that, and I don't think maybe I was happy to be on the list with the wrong guys. Like, I'm excited that Derek Gunn's still in it. I'm excited John Clark is still in it. Howard is someone, like I said, I'm honored to be on the same list with. Disappointing from the King, though, that, he maybe drops his spot or has a bad weekend and he dips out. For being such a legend in Philly media, I thought he would have, put up a little more of a fight.
Yeah.
I can't disagree.
Is it me or I'm asking all you guys this? That felt like that might have been a shot towards me.
Of course it was. Okay. And by the way,
they're really starting to go after Ike Reese now.
I wasn't sure.
You're allowed to ask for credit within the insider rankings. It doesn't mean you're going to get it.
Right.
Anyone's allowed to campaign. Right.
What's been going on with the credit, too? Jack multiple times has asked me on the station, do you put your Insider of the Year thing on? And I say yes. And then afterwards, when I'm like, oh, by the way, I brought this up, Jack does the whole violin. Oh, you want credit for it, huh? How about that? Exactly. Here he goes. I mean, the Devontae deal, the Isaiah Rogers thing. I was dead on about those, and he said that they counted.
Well,
and now all of a sudden, it doesn't.
But I think the thing is, Elliot, you do walk the line of informed speculation rather than report. And if you don't say, We said when we put out the rules that inform speculation, you're going to get minimal credit for that.
That's fine. Yeah, that's okay. Fine. But I'm saying
it's
Jack
a marathon, Elliot. Elliot,
yeah, no, trust me, I'm good to go.
Okay.
I'm confident in my abilities. I do miss the days when I used to come on the air and it was just Eagles Insider as opposed to Eagles Insider candidate. So you know what? Okay. By the end of the season, I think I'll be back.
No, you're an Eagles Insider, Insider of the Year candidate for sure.
True. Yes.
And I agree.
We know you shine in training camp anyway, though.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I'm ready to go.
Everyone should know that this is a long competition. You're not going to win. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And a couple of things on the Howard thing. First of all, he doesn't get to recuse himself. We can rank him or not rank him. It's our show.
Yeah.
It's our award.
We don't need his approval.
We didn't ask anybody else's permission.
Exactly, yeah.
So whether it's or John Clark or D. Gunn or the reporter from the newspaper or Howard, all of them.
Or me receiving.
Or you receiving
honorable
votes.
Honorable mention votes, yeah.
Joe Santaliquido, who hits a home run once every 4 years. It could be anybody.
I will say, I think people are taking notice in the media landscape about these rankings. So you guys have become the gatekeeper of this. So I'm excited to see where it goes.
I'm excited to have you be a part of it. Mm-hmm. Elliot,
thank you.
Love you, buddy.
Appreciate it, brother.
Go Birds podcast. And
clap your hands.
Yeah, and clap your hands. What's that one?
Yeah, I was going to say, after the Sixers lose tonight, make sure everyone goes and checks out Clap Your Hands. So
if they do lose tonight, I will. Hold on. You're on two tonight?
Yeah.
Hold on, I got to choose between Rice to Ricky and Clap Your Hands?
But with that podcast, it's going to be like, ooh, they didn't run enough 3-2 zone. With us, you're going to get real passion.
Can I just ask one question before I get off?
Is
pointing out the plus minus for Embiid 10 years into his career the most loser thing that we do for any athlete in the city? If after years of saying Jokic is just a stats guy and you have to point to advanced metrics, I love Embiid. I think there should be a banner in the rafter for his MVP. I truly believe it was a special year. But I'm so sick of people being like, well, he's actually plus 34 in these games. They're not winning. He was minus 4 in the fourth quarter. He had one point in that big game. See, tonight is about going out and showing he's not a quitter.
I agree.
Game 7 of Boston.
I agree with your second point. Your first point, I think people use it the wrong way. I think this series, it informs – no. I'm going to kick him out. So give me Ben Kenny. I think in this series, it informs things like, why did he play the entire second half of the game?
I'm ready for wins and losses to inform how well he played. That's where I'm at.
Okay.
Well, like quarterback.
The guy that just told me that James Bradberry is a trade chip.
Yeah, I think he is a trade chip. And if he loses,
do you want
he
that on your Insider of the Year credit or not?
I'm not answering your Insider of the Year credit question.
But now I remember it because everyone's here. I don't remember the other times.
Exactly, yeah.
All right, Elliot.
All right, fun stuff.
All right, see you, buddy. There he is, Elliot Shore Parks, Eagles Insider of the Year candidate.
Candidate.
Yeah, that's what he is.
Recusing himself. You don't get to recuse yourself.
He just doesn't want to lose.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't, it's like, oh, I didn't have a chance to study last night. That's why I did bad on the test. the grade's the grade, and we're the teacher.
Hold on. Real quick,
yeah,
a little behind the scenes.
Yes,
did I nudging a little too much?
I don't know. It sounds like you got in his head.
That's what he said when I heard him say that earlier. I said, "Hold on, is he talking about me?"
Look, end of the day,
he's upset about the Saquon thing.
Well, yes, that too, which I was right about. I was first. I don't care what you say or what Spike says. I don't get insider credit for that. I didn't say I get insider credit for that. I just said I was the first one who suggested it on the air. He's the one that's been anti-running back all his life and hates running back, but he wants to take credit for Saquon.
I'm a little worried we're turning the clock back about 12 years to Eskin and Reese, part one. I don't want to do that. And look, the reality is, you winning Eagles Insider of the Year is nearly impossible.
Yes.
I'm not an insider. There's less than a 15% chance that you would win Eagles Insider of the Year.
I mean, just because I was right about us picking Jeremiah Trotter Jr., don't be upset about that.
Look.
I mean, a sore loser.
Yeah. The new rankings haven't even come out yet.
Also, just have a little fun.
Yeah. Yoshi, you're on WIP. What's up, buddy?
My man Spike was popping. Big Ike, Jackie Benton, a.k.a. Fuck Man, talking about it's his couch. I texted him immediately, too, talking about it was the couch, bro. Like, no, I won't, dog. Stop playing.
Even if it was the couch now, nobody believes him. So, yeah, it don't even matter.
Does anyone need their ears checked in the Delaware Valley? That's like a cartoon fart.
Jack Fart.
That was a fart. And you know how you know it's a fart? Because you sound like you're embarrassed when you start explaining it. Let's say so. Yeah, it was a fart. It was a fart. Take it on the chin, bro. We want fart.
Oh, take it on the chin.
You want to take the fart on the chin?
Sounded like that's where it came from. It was so close to the mic.
Possibly. I would have blamed it on the baby. That's what he's talking about, the couch.
Hey, that's who I would have blamed it. I'd have blamed it on Walker.
Yep.
Always blame the kids, I always blame the kids. Who ate that last piece of pork chop? The baby. He ain't got no teeth yet. He ate it, though. Hey, man. Hey, Ike, man. Oh, man.
Yes.
I love that draft, man. You know what? The whole offseason, he ain't been perfect, but the whole offseason, how he has really set his game up. I mean, that draft, man, you get two first-round graded, DBs. What's that? I believe both of them can start day one. What's that? And for Riverwood, they do all the same thing. They talk about they can't press. You go and look at – I mean, I was looking at Fran Duffy breakdown. Both of them can press. Mirror the wide receiver if they needed to. They're excellent in off coverage, very instinctive, strong, can hit. I love that. You understand the third-round pick project. The Will Shipley pick. I love that. I mean, that dude, he fast. He run a 4.39, Spike, 4.39. He got that little edge button to him. Now you see me, now you don't. He can catch out the backfield. I love all of that. The draft was very relaxing. And then to go get JT. I text Jack probably, 30-something picks ahead of time. I said, how we about to go get him? And then he picked Shipley. And then later down the line, there goes JT. I was so happy. I didn't care about nothing else after that. But it was great. It was relaxing. And the reason the Sixers won on the other night is because we was 1 foot in and 1 foot out of the daggone game. We was watching the draft. We was looking at them. That's why they won, in my opinion. Everybody need to leave Embiid alone. I'm cool with what Embiid doing. Embiid, Bell's palsy, lingering knee effects, exhaustion because ain't nobody else doing nothing, and he got to do everything. And he has really stepped his game up this year in the playoffs. I'm happy with him. It should be Embiid, a little bit of Maxey, and nobody else on the team. The bench is trash. They only get in four games. What we got, 20-something points? I mean, I'm looking at that game Sunday, and we had 1 point from the bench always, I think, up to the fourth quarter. But still had 1 point. 6 points from the bench. Like, that is trash. Tobias, I'm so glad I got off that train. Ike, you sound beautiful and delightful now that you are cussing him out in your own special way. Listen to Ike Reese. He came on over here with us, boy. And you know what? They will win tonight. You know why? Because I'm going to be watching something and something else. I'm going to listen to my wife, everything she got to tell me about the gossip stuff on YouTube, and look at the game. And they will win because I'm going to be 1 foot in and 1 foot out. I love y'all guys. Let's get this win tonight, Spike. Talk to y'all later, baby.
All right, Yosh.
I'll tell you, if they win tonight, I'm going to come in all fired up tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm going.
I probably will be too.
Me too.
I'm just.
No, you won't.
No, you're not allowed.
Why?
You twice in the last week have chosen out rather than in. You said you hope they lose.
Well, it wasn't like the Eagles in week one. Like that was a must.
Well, yeah, he's used to that stuff. Oh, yeah, he did that all last year. Yes.
The biggest fraud at the radio station. That's
so
what my YouTube scouting says. You're the biggest fraud on the radio. Speaking of the biggest fraud on the radio station, the top five at five is next. And would you draft Bronny if it meant you had a bigger chance of signing LeBron James? We'll talk about that next.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.